You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen's jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win!
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Good evening and welcome into McDonald's on West 10th Street for tonight's broadcast of Inside Ben Davis Football alongside Jeff Robinson, Coach Simmons, and John Easter back in the studio. I'm Grant Covey, your host for this evening, and a lot to get to in this week's edition of Inside Ben Davis Football. The Giants opened up McPlay on Friday against the Pike Red Devils and were victorious 40-19 over the Red Devils. But, Coach, a lot to take away from that game, and to just take us through your first win in the Mick Conference as head coach.
I thought our kids played. I thought our kids played really well. The kids played hard. You know, we challenged them to be the more physical of the two teams during that contest. Challenged them to maintain their poise and just worry about playing the next play together as a group. And I felt like our kids did that Friday. Kids competed hard. Our kids finished plays. You know, when you look at our offensive line Friday night, Grant, I don't know that I could have been more proud of a group on our team. I felt like our offensive line dominated and controlled that game for us. Then you watch him finishing plays down the field. You know, there's Big Dewan flying over a pile to go help a teammate. Teron Thomas is downfield in a pile helping a teammate out, trying to finish a guy. And then, you know, you have Sidibe down, you have Barker, you have Zulu. All those guys played whistle to whistle as hard as they could, and it showed. You know, we ran for over 400 yards Friday and had over 500 yards of total offense against Pike.
Coach, you mentioned as far as the offensive line, how well it was working together. Talk about how much that benefited really your skill players.
Well, I think what it did is it allowed us to get into a rhythm. You know, I felt like Pike got into some too high safety looks to try and take away, you know, some of the slant routes and some of the things that we were doing well going into the game, passing game wise. But still tried to keep seven in the box to force us to run the football, and our offensive line handled. Felt like they handled Pike's, you know, defensive box well. They were able to get us a couple of big seams down the middle of the defense. And, you know, when you get Delbert Mims loose, you get Olajuwon Hassell loose, those guys can certainly break a long runoff. You know, I felt like the element of our offense that really showed up a little bit too on Friday were the legs of Trent Gibson. You know, he ran a little bit against Avon. Some of it was just him getting outside the pocket and making a play. Some of it was, you know, predetermined runs. But, you know, he ran for almost 100 yards. Hassel was just under 100, you know, and Delbert was at 183. And so, you know, again, we forced, you know, and it's a credit to our offensive staff led by, you know, our offense coordinator, Justin Ferris. You know, we forced them to defend all 11 guys on the field. And, you know, with our offense, our guys are selfless. They don't really care who gets touches, who gets all the credit. Our guys just want to put up numbers and have fun. And I think that's it's certainly a testament to our offensive staff.
Is it fair to say that we're starting to get an identity out of your offensive group?
Well, I think it's fair to say that our kids are starting to get comfortable. You know, we're starting to get a bunch of guys who hadn't had a lot of Friday night reps. We're getting those guys reps. You know, I don't know that it's changed our identity, really. You know, we want to come into every game and try and establish a run game and get our running backs going. But for us, you know, we really want to take what defenses give us. And if they're going to give us a quick game, if they're going to give us some shots down the field, if they're going to give us a run game, we're going to load up and take it. So I think what you're seeing is, you know, we talked about so much, you know, lack of experience coming out of the Avon game. You know, our guys got 12 quarters under their belt, and they're starting to settle in and find a rhythm and starting to get comfortable with that experience piece.
Coach, it seemed like Pike tried to play Ben Davis a little bit differently maybe than some of the other teams that the Giants have had on the schedule. They seem to come in with a certain level of physicality and things. talk a little bit about how physical that game was and how your team responded to some of the things that were going on field.
Yeah, I felt like our kids kept their poise a great deal, John, to be honest with you. You know, we talked about it at halftime. We wanted to be the most disciplined team on the field. We talked about that in pregame. We wanted to be the most physical team on the field. We talked about that in pregame. And we wanted to go out and get out and set the tone and not get caught up in anything that was going to take place after the whistle. And our kids did that. Our kids showed a great deal of discipline in the first half. When you look at the first half penalties, I think they had 8 or 9 penalties in the first half, and I believe we had 2. And I think that speaks to the discipline and the focus that our players took into that game. And so I was certainly proud of those guys for that. And I felt like, you know, when we were given penalty yards, when they assessed Pike's penalties, I felt like our kids took advantage of those opportunities. And again, that speaks to the maturity of our group, and it speaks to our guys just gaining some of that game experience, and having the 1-2 to go out and finish drives.
Coach, you mentioned the penalties a little bit there on Pike in the first half, and one of them was a double kind of. They called 2 personal fouls against Pike, and 2 personal fouls you enforced. Both of them ended up in a 30-yard field goal, moved you guys all the way up to the 21-yard line, or 31, I think it was. But just kind of how did that, you know, help you in scoring a touchdown? Obviously closer to the end zone, but how were you able to take advantage of that and use that to your advantage to go ahead of Pike?
Yeah, when you get 30 yards in penalties, that's 3 first downs. You know, that's a huge chunk of yards. And so for us, I think that kind of got them out of their rhythm, or you know what rhythm they had defensively. But you know, I felt like our kids just kept their poise and just kept chipping away. We had a good offensive game plan, had a good game plan, really in all 3 phases of the game. And so. You know, our kids were poised. Our kids were steady. So when we got those penalty yards, we just went out and executed our offense. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to score a touchdown after.
Another thing, you were able to really play for the lead in a rivalry type of situation. Talk about the advantage of being able to play from that lead position, especially against a team that you know is going to be fired up to play your team.
Yeah, you know, we thought it would be important to score first. You know, you get in a rivalry game like that, sometimes it's nice just to score first. You feel like you can settle in if you do, and we were fortunate enough to do that. They jumped off sides on the PAT, and so we put our offense back out there, went for 2. We were fortunate enough to get that, and then we got greedy. I got greedy. We tried an onside kick, had a great kick out of Zach Fox for the second week in a row, just had poor coverage awareness. They ran that kick back down to the 6-yard line. Tried to kick their PAT, missed it. Felt like we had an advantage in the kicking game going into this game, and you know I don't know that it played out as big as I thought it would, which is certainly a testament to their kickoff return group and their punt group. But we got greedy there early, and then I think once we got through that, we just kind of settled in and played ball, and we were able to pull away.
Again, you're listening to McDonald's on West 10th Street. We're here with Jeff Robinson and Coach Simmons, and John Easter's back in the studio.
Inside Ben Davis Football at McDonald's on West 10th Street. Coach, you talked a little bit about the onside kick situation. Great job running down the Pike player to keep him out of the end zone, first of all. But another thing that happened with your special teams is, once again, we saw a half-ending field goal. So another tremendous job. The continued growth of that has to be good for the Giants.
Yeah, you know, we scored with about a minute 40 left, minute 30, somewhere in that neighborhood. We knew we had 2 timeouts. We had some quick conversation on the headset. You know, what are we going to do if, you know, we played that what-if game that you have to have a plan for. Pike ran the ball on first down. We had 2 timeouts left, so if they ran it all 3 downs, it was going to be slim pickings in terms of amount of time left, but we still wanted to have a plan. Felt like it was a good opportunity to possibly get points if we can get stops. Second down, they ran the ball, called a quick timeout. Third down, they ran the ball again, got a scramble from Graves, and we used our last timeout there to force a punt. Tried to go after the punt, didn't really get clean execution. But yet, I felt like our offense, they executed really well. We hit the draw play by Hassel, for a chunk play, and then we hit Mims out of the backfield for another chunk play. And Delbert, we were fortunate enough with Delbert to get out of bounds with 0.9 seconds left, which gave us an opportunity to run our field goal unit out there and hit it. And so, you know, it was great 2-minute offense execution, but, you know, you can't get that done if you don't have playmakers. And Trent did a good job. Delbert did a good job. And A.J. Hassel did a nice job making those plays to give us an opportunity to hit it. And then I felt like our operations, you know, sometimes we take our special teams for granted, but when you have the veteran experience back with Isaac Torres, Zach Fox, Ty Nibbs, and Darian Herbert, you know, we kind of take those operations for granted, and those guys are as solid as a high school group as there is around. So those guys went out, had good poise, and we were able to knock that field goal down late in the first half.
Coach, Delbert Mims, you mentioned, had over 100 yards on Friday, and a guy who had 10 carries in the meeting with Tech, but obviously he was pulled because of the lead and stuff, but only 16 carries against Avon, 18 against Pike. How has he been able to grow and get more carries and more yards throughout the season, only 3 games in?
Well, you know, I think so much of that is the nature of our offense. We're going to play multiple backs. And, again, our guys don't care who gets the credit. If you say something to Delbert about carries, he's going to tell you all he wants to do is watch our offense score. And, you know, if he can be a part of that, he wants to be a part of it. And he certainly was on Friday with 26 points. But, you know, he's a selfless kid, and he can be a workhorse. You know, his carries have grown every week. It's probably not going to change at all this week. But with the depth that we have the opportunity to keep him fresh through the fourth quarter. And, you know, we've developed some depth with A.J. Hassel and with Trez Cushenberry to be able to spot Delbert throughout the game. And then, you know, we're going to take what the defense gives us. And if they give us Delbert carries, then we're certainly going to take them.
Coach, we really haven't talked much about the defense against Pike. Pike obviously has a lot of athletes. How did you feel your defense responded?
You know, I felt like our defense defended everything that Pike could throw at us for the most part fairly well. You know, we got a solid performance from two inside linebackers that started their first high school game. You know, Tyrekus Cushenberry started inside. A.J. Moore started inside for us. Those two guys combined for 20 tackles. Tyrekus had a great night, filled up the stat sheet. I thought A.J. adjusted well. Different feel. You know, we put him in against Avon, and then, you know, he goes from playing in a phone booth against Avon to playing in a bunch of space versus Pike, and really handled it fairly well for the most part. We got really solid play out of Capone Powell at the outside linebacker spot at the nickel spot. He did a nice job. And, you know, our secondary for the most part has been steady throughout, you know, with Kenny Fair, Mike Adams, Jalen Dobson. Those, I felt like those three guys did a nice job. You know, on the back end, keeping Pike's passing game for the most part contained. But for us, it started up front. You know, we played Kawan Emerson, Malik Temple, Curtis Covington, those three guys inside did a really nice job. Anthony Lackey is getting more and more snaps every week. He played with a really high motor, was really disruptive on the defensive line. And we know what we're going to get out of Ravion Tharp and Manias Collins. You know, those two guys playing defensive end for us did a really nice job as well. I felt like our defensive line set the tone early. I think that, you know, the important thing was we got some early third and short stops. We got some early fourth down stops. That really gave us some momentum, and it got their offense off the field and got the ball back in our offense's hands. And so, you know, I feel like our defense is starting to come around a little bit. You know, our defensive staff led by Tony Henderson, our defense coordinator, those guys are certainly digging. Russ Sumner does a nice job coordinating the back end of our defense. Kyle Butler, Mike Adams, those guys. You know, our defensive staff is starting to gel and starting to finish each other's sentences like our offensive staff is, and that, I think that's only going to pay off for us down the road.
Coach, as you obviously in that game, you had a situation towards the end that you never want to see with an ambulance that came out on the field. Obviously, we hear that Jimmy's doing well. I don't know if you want to expand on that a little bit, but how do you keep your team focused when something like that happens?
Well, yeah, I think for us, you know, I relied on our veteran staff. You know, when you look. And I can turn around and I can go to Justin Ferris, I can go to Tony Henderson and say, hey, you need to talk to the offensive guys, you need to talk to the defensive guys. Here's the message. And I know it's going to get done. You know, I know those guys are going to make sure that our young men keep their head in the right spot and keep their focus where it ought to be. Jimmy's doing well. You know, he's back out of practice today. He cleared all of his protocol with, you know, with the doctors, which is certainly a good sign for him. You know, he so, you know, we're going to progress him back as the doctors and trainers tell us to. But, you know, I think our veteran staff did a really nice job of just managing our kids through the incident. It's certainly something you never want to see at all, no matter what team it is, no matter what kid it is. You know, but we're certainly fortunate right now with where Jimmy's at.
All right, you're listening Inside Ben Davis Football from McDonald's on West 10th Street. We're going to come back in just 1 minute and look ahead to the Center Grove matchup coming up this Friday night. Center Grove, a team who beat Carmel last week. So that's coming up next on Inside Ben Davis Football on the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I was very independent. I fell, and I had to have Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
WBDG thanks Culver's for their support of this WBDG sports broadcast. Culver's has a selection of Butterburgers, fries, fish, and chicken. Culver's also offers a variety of soups, salads, kids' meals, desserts, and frozen custard. Culver's is located just off Rockville Road and can be reached at 463-202-2085 and on the web at culvers.com. WBDG thanks Culver's for their support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
Back here inside Ben Davis Football from McDonald's on West 10th Street. I'm Greg Kobe alongside Jeff Robinson and Mr. Coach Simmons. Now into the second half of our show, Coach, and this is when we look ahead to the upcoming game on Friday. The Center Grove Trojans come to town, a team who just picked up their first win of the season last Friday against Carmel. That's an upset there. But take us through you know, what Center Grove brings to the table this week.
Well, I think when you look at it, they're going to bring a battle-tested team into Giant Stadium. They on the defensive side of the ball, they start seven seniors, four in the secondary. So those guys have played back there, you know, quite a bit. They start three on the defensive line, start five seniors on the offensive side of the ball, including the quarterback. So they have a battle-tested group that's played a lot of snaps in the mix that is going to come in with a great deal of experience. You know, offensively, a lot of people talk about Carson Steele, but they, you know, all they try and do is turn it into a bum puzzle for that defense and try and confuse people and with motions, with shifts, with unbalanced formations, with a lot of misdirection in the backfield. And so we have to stay locked in defensively, stay poised and patient, and trust our keys. Defensively, they don't do a lot of stuff. They do a small amount of stuff really, really well. You can watch them all move in sync. They're aggressive. I feel like their back end tackles really well in space. They don't give up chunk plays. They work really hard to keep people in front of them, and force teams to drive the field. And then they want to dig their heels in and go win in the red zone. So it's a battle tested group. It's an experienced group. They're going to do what they do. They're going to play Center Grove football. And you know, for us, that means we have to defend the run, not give up big plays in the passing game, and you know, we have to take advantage of what they're going to give us from an offensive perspective as well.
Coach, it always seems like Center Grove is one exceptions in terms of whenever you look at their offensive formations. They're talk about the challenges it brings to a defense like yours, which is built on speed.
Yeah, when you look at what that offense does to a defense, there's a lot of different layers to it. You know, they have a small play selection, really, for the most part, that they try and do out of a lot of different formations. They use different tempos. You know, they will huddle and use up the play clock and just be methodical. And then if they hit a chunk player, they get you in a personnel grouping that they like. They're gonna try and tempo really quick and get something on the edge with their speed and trying to outflank you. They do use a lot of different formations, a lot of different motions, a lot of different shifts. So we have to make sure that we're paying attention to that and we stay dialed in. And they really, it's a hard offense to replicate if you don't run it yourself. You know, for us, we've been okay the last 2 days, not great replicating it in practice. And so we got to break it down into some small group settings and make sure that our guys understand exactly what that read and that key is going to look like on Friday night. So, you know, there's a lot of different layers to it. You know, there's the misdirection element in the backfield. There's the motions that you, you know, sometimes they use it as eye candy to try and get your eyes off of your key, and sometimes it's purposeful. So, you know, we have to stay disciplined, and we have to make sure that we're fitting into where we need to fit into, and we're not chasing something just because we thought the ball was going somewhere, you know. So it's going to require us to be disciplined. You know, they have a workhorse running back in sophomore Carson Steele. They have a veteran quarterback in Jackson Moore, you know, who's ran that offense for a long, long time. Obviously, his relationship with the play caller and the head coach is a big deal, too. So second week in a row that, you know, that we've seen that. But, we, you know, we're going to stay locked in, stay disciplined, and, you know, we're going to have to dig our heels in and tackle, too.
You talk about this Center Grove offense. It's an offense that is ingrained in, I think, every football player on the south side that plays for Coach Moore, because I think they run it all through their peewee system, through their junior high system, all the way up into high school. Just how tough is it to defend when the kids know it that well?
Well, I think, you know, it's not necessarily their base stuff that's a pain to defend. It's all of the little nuances that make that offense go. You know, when you look at it and you put it on a stopwatch, that ball gets into the line of scrimmage so quickly that, you know, your defensive line could be taken on a block, and at the same time they're taken on a block and contact's made, that ball inserts into the line of scrimmage, and so we haven't had a bunch of time to separate and get off a block. And so, you know, we certainly have to push that issue of taking blocks on, getting off of blocks quickly and fitting. We have to make sure that, you know, we handle, we got to take away their base plays or try to, and we got to handle those. But we also have to handle the extensions. You know, we have to handle the boot off of their favorite run, the buck sweep. And, you know, we have to handle play action off the belly. And, I mean, there's all kinds of little nuanced things that extend that offense that we have to be ready to handle as well as their base runs and passes.
You're listening Inside Ben Davis Football from McDonald's on West 10th Street. We talked a lot about Center Grove's offense, but when you look ahead and at our offense, how important is it to get ahead and get on the board early with Center Grove, a team that's capable of scoring points?
Well, I think it's important to, you know, when you get up on a team that wants to run the ball and control the flow of the game. Yeah, I think, you know, that would certainly be important for us to do on Friday if we're given the opportunity to. If we can score first and get them behind the scoreboard a little bit, that certainly plays into our favor. I think the biggest thing for us that we've talked about this week offensively is just staying patient and taking what they give us. They go into impatience because they are so tough to get chunk plays on. They're not going to give up the 80-yard run that we've gotten this year a couple times. They're not going to give up 78-yard slant route. It's not something you see on film from teams that they've played so far. And, you know, their schedule has them tested. You know, everybody says, well, they're 1-2. They upset Carmel. Well, I don't know if it's an upset. You know, they beat Carmel 4 years in a row. They, you know, obviously there's a lot of familiarity there with two MEC opponents. And, you know, when you look at who they open their schedule with, they open with the number one team in 6A and the number one team in 5A. And so, you know, they've played two highly competitive people. I think their strength of schedule is as good as anybody's right now through three games. So, you know, you have to stay patient and continue to take what they give you, and you can't get greedy. You know, just because you get impatient, you want to go get a chunk play. You know, chunk plays happen because you out execute them. Chunk plays don't happen because you do something special or you do something unique. We have to stay within ourselves, and we have to make sure that we take care of the little things offensively.
Coach Eric Moore has been at Center Grove for up around 20 years plus now. Unfortunately, during the offseason, he went through some off-the-field issues that really almost sent him away from Center Grove. Your thoughts on what coaches are dealing with sometimes on off-the-field issues with the changing world of high school athletics there.
Yeah, I think so much of it right now these days, Jeff, is starting with the travel sports phenomenon, whether it's travel sports in football, travel sports in basketball, travel sports in baseball. And that's certainly a soapbox that I can get on for another time. You know, when you look at what Eric went through in the offseason, it's not something you wish on anybody. You know, he's had a 19-year run at Center Grove that speaks to his professionalism. It speaks to his love for his players. Speaks to his love for his program, and in the amount of time and the amount of commitment that he's put into that program has been immeasurable for those guys. And you think about where Center Grove football was before he got there, and you think about where it's at right now, and it's a household name when you talk 6A. You know, when you talk 6A programs, people are going to bring up Center Grove, and that hadn't always been the case. And so, you know, for Eric, you know, you hate to see anybody go through that, especially a guy that's had the success that he's had and a guy that's run a program like he's run it. And so, I feel for him. And also, you know, I'm also grateful that he has the opportunity to continue to coach at Center Grove and be a part of a program that he's put so much into.
At the same time, do you feel like maybe some of the off the field problems that were going on for Coach Moore may have taken away a little bit in terms of Center Grove's preparation for this season?
Well, I think anytime you go through that long of an investigation and there's that much. There's that many question marks there, Jeff. You know, I think it's going to take away from that program in some way, shape, or form. And you know, I'm sure it was a huge distraction for him early. I'm sure the season has kind of been an opportunity for them to kind of take a deep breath and get into normal, whatever normal is for those guys down at Center Grove. And so, we're going to continue to see them get better as the season goes on. We're going to hopefully continue to see them, you know, improve. And I just hope it's not too much improvement going into this Friday.
Coach Moore is 180-64 at Center Grove, 228-69. He's 11th right now among active coaches in the state of Indiana, which is pretty impressive. Coach, when you look at this series, it's 15-11. You know, I always like to bring in the historical perspective, I guess you could say, on these series games. I know you had quite a few rumbles with Center Grove when you were here in your previous stint. Anything stand out during that time?
Yeah, they are who they are. You know, when you look at the run of players that they had in the late 2000s, they had a bunch of talent come through there. Saw them twice in the 2008 season, lost to them in the semi-state down there. Had a highly competitive game at Giant Stadium in the regular season as well. And so, you know, they are who they are. We've talked about this with our players this week. You know, you're going to have to out execute them. In order to do that, you got to have a great deal of discipline, a great deal of poise, and you got to have a great deal of perseverance, because they are a good football team. You can throw their record out the window. I don't think the 1-2 is truly indicative of who they are as a football team or where their program's at right now. I think what that speaks to is that they've played, you know, three highly competitive and highly respected programs.
I know Jeff will remember this one, but I think my favorite Ben Davis Center Grove memory, besides the Chris Evans run that we still use in the open occasionally, but that ended up winning the semi-state a couple years back, but was the nice cold 4-3 game. You remember that one, Jeff?
I absolutely do. unforgettable. I mean, and Center Grove's kicker actually scored 5 of those 7 points.
Yes.
In that ball game.
Yes.
Was that 2006 or 2007?
That was 2007.
Yeah,
I think it was 6, actually.
Yeah, I think it was 2006, John. Okay. I was a part of that game.
Yep.
I felt great that we got, you know, a bases loaded double is what it felt like walking out of there.
I remember Coach Dullahan was doing the game with us on WBDG, and he was up in the booth, and I remember hearing him say, "It's 4-3 in the bottom of the 5th."
Yeah, I mean, that's
and I was on the other side of the wall next to 2 other reporters covering that game, and we were all sending text messages saying, "You'll never believe what's happening here."
Yeah, that I was a part of that game. That I had forgotten about that, thankfully, because I was coaching the offensive line that year. So, you know, certainly there's a lot of history in this rivalry, and a lot of that history has been you know, kind of kickstarted by when Coach Moore got to Center Grove. And so, you know, hopefully we can continue to add to the win column here at Ben Davis.
Center Grove all scored right. All 7 points in that game. That was the odd thing, too.
Yep.
All right, Coach, you know, we're looking ahead to the game on Friday. The Giants back at home for week number four. Haven't been home since week number one. What's your message to Ben Davis and Purple Rain? And, you know, Purple Rain, got to give him credit coming out last Friday night. So what's your message to get him out again here on this Friday night?
Well, I felt like we had a great crowd at Pike. You know, they certainly traveled and supported us, and hopefully we gave him, you know, we gave him something to be proud of. And, you know, we need him to show out this week too. You know, this is going to be a huge game for us. It's a huge Mick game. This game's going to give us an opportunity to stay in the hunt for a Mick championship, which is always important. It's a huge benchmark, you know, if you can be competitive and win in this conference. And, you know, we're going to need their support. You know, we're going to do everything we can to prepare like Ben Davis Giants and to go out and play like Ben Davis Giants on Friday. And that home field advantage is going to be important for us.
All right. Thank you, Coach Simmons, for joining the show again this week. Also, a big thanks to Jeff Robinson and John Easter. And, of course, Marcy Royalty for her support of this Ben Davis Sports Broadcast, WBDG Sports Broadcast. The Giants host the Center Grove Trojans on Friday. Kickoff at 7 p.m. Coverage, of course, starting at 6 p.m. here on WBDG with the replay of Inside Ben Davis Football. Thanks to everybody who contributed to the show this evening. For everyone here at McDonald's on West 10th Street, I'm Grant Covey. Have a great night. This has been the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.